Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking our 22 under 2 keepers. So those players who are 22 years of age who we're picking up in our keeper league. Similar to what we did at the start of the year, we had our 23 under 23. As a homage to what Footy Rhino used to do back in the day. So this will be a statesman-driven pod. So unfortunately, you will have to listen to his voice for most of the show. And lucky I do apologize listeners for that at the top of the show. But happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope you had a great day getting your socks and jocks and have a lunch or wherever you did for the day. Welcome to you, Stephen. What did you do for Father's Day?
Nothing. I don't believe in that sort of crap. Jono, you know me, basically the Grinch of the Frankston area. Don't get into any of that. The family knew not to get me anything. They didn't even stay out of my way. The daughter's very sick, but I can't get over this no football weekend or no AFL football weekend. It's absolutely horrible. I thought me and the missus, we'd catch a flick on Saturday night, and I like Melissa McCarthy. Jonah, the actress, and I think she's very funny. And we throw on one of her movies that I hadn't seen called Tammy. Let me tell you, this is the worst hunk of crap I've ever seen anyone roll out in a long time. So I flicked on the replay of the round 19 Gold Coast Suns Carlton match just to bring me back to speed. Whew, that was a rough movie.
Yeah, no, it was a quiet weekend away with the missus and that was it. Just no football. Actually spending time with the loved ones, it's painful, isn't it? Absolutely painful.
What's with Father's Day? It's like someone's so proud they had sex this one time, they had to create a special day. Like, come on.
I feel for all those, you know, the single blokes or the people who, you know, the men and women who can't get pregnant, you know, families like that. It's sickening. It is sickening.
It's rough.
And we welcome to you, Statesman. How are you doing? A close third. I think it's the first time we've spoken to you since the fallout of what happened last week. How are you feeling after that?
Oh, fantastic. It was just a great honour to be in the mix for the full second half of the year. I think I was in the top 10 for the last 9 or 10 weeks. So, no, it was fantastic. And obviously, Beamsy almost took the honours for me. That was great. And then saw Sebi Ross helping some people come running out. I thought I might have been 15th by the end of it, the way Seb Ross was going in the third quarter. But it was fantastic. Loved every minute. Look, I will say this week I had that awful feeling of loss. I spent plenty of hours travelling in my job, both inter and intrastate. And I usually use that time to catch up with all the podcasts on Fantasy Footy. On Friday, I had a four-hour drive ahead of me and no podcasts to listen to. So on my return home, rather than check if Mrs. Statesman had a good day, I took some time to thank those that have filled my year with so much joy. And so I just want to say thanks to all those that brought us so much content throughout the year. And it's for a sports fan, it feels like October, which is the most boring month of the year when we talk about sports. No footy, no cricket as such. So that's what it felt like. It was a little bit awful. So I paid a bit of homage on Friday night to the to all the crews that fill us full of so much content. I know we're one of the few that keep going over summer and look forward to it. And I will say I've done pretty well in fantasy football for a long period of time. And it's been that content that's always made me a better player. But actually being online with you guys for 2 years, so it's two seasons now I've been part of the Draft Doctors, has been my best two top 100 finishes. And I think it's purely because it creates me to do more homework. So thank you.
That's all right. A grand final ticket would be much appreciated.
No chance.
You can try. As we said at the top of this show, it is our 22 under 22. But before we get into it, I love this time of year. It's all the trade rumours, what's going on here, there and everywhere. We see Lachie Neale might be off to Brisbane and that. But I think the AFL needs to bring in a system like Survivor. They just Jonathan Lapalia comes in, holding a tray. He just say he goes to Fremantle. He goes, Fremantle, drop your Guernseys. It's time to trade. And all blokes on the list just pick up a little thing out of the little bowl there, and that's where they're getting traded to. Just complete mix up every single year. It's just going to screw with all their fantasy rosters. But that's the way to do the trades these days. Just a Survivor / AFL merge. That's what I'm looking at for next year. Gil, if you're listening, get it done.
Well, the AFL's already just reality television, Jonathan. Anyway, I think we've discussed this in the past.
That is true. Whatever. Why not go the full tilt and, you know?
can I ask a question? So much of the trade talk's been about a couple of ruckmen so far, but two ruckmen looking for greater opportunities, but both of them are being discussed of going to clubs that have got a number one ruckman. What's all that about? Yeah.
That's the rumour files. Just sling as much crap as you can and see what can stick.
Yeah, that's amazing. Why, I don't know why you would go from one club being number two to another club being number two. So
I would say Lysette makes some sense. Like if Port's his old club and, you know, Ryder's
dead
close to the end, like that somewhat makes sense. But I'm with you 100%. Like go to GWS, go to St Kilda, go somewhere. Like,
and why would you stop being Goldstein's understudy, who's 30 or turning 31 next year, and go to be Max Gorn's understudy?
Nah, doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, as you say, it might be just rumour files. But hey, let's move into the content. Now we will name 25, absolutely, even though 22. So there's three unluckies that missed out. The way we've worked through this out, obviously you need to be born 1996 or after to be eligible for that. So that means Cripps, Bont, and many others, Zach Merritt and all that type, are no longer eligible for this one. We looked at their average for 2018. We've looked for what position we expect them to have for 2019. So we're looking at, for example, Josh Dunkley, who was a forward this year. He will definitely be a midfielder next year. The second half of the year, he was a midfielder full stop. So we've got to look at him for planning for the future. He's going to be a midfielder. So we've got to rate him as a midfielder, not as someone that's got DPP. We obviously look at the games, their career average, the amount of tons they have. Another one we look at is how many over 120s they have. So what type of ceiling have they got? Then a really important stat, especially young in the career, is how often do they get a ton versus how many games they've played? So I use an example here. In Charlie Curnow has played a total of 44 games, and he's had 5 tons already. So as a key position forward, that's a bit of a standout. So every 8.8 games early in his career, being a man that's only 20 years of age, turning 21 this year, that's quite impressive for a key position player, that every 8 games he plays, he's going to get you a ton. Then the three of us got the opportunity to rank. And then, so if a player is ranked number one by all of us, then they get a collection of 3 points. So the lowest total points gives you the position you're at. So it's the three of us having our say. So the three to miss out is Mr. Powell Pepper, who I will say only one person had in their 22, which was Steve, and reasonably high Steve in number 15. Jacob Hopper, only one of us, and that was myself, had him in the 22 in the second position. And one I'm probably regretting that is missing, and it's probably a reflection that he missed the second half of this year and probably had a bit of a bust year two, is Callum Mills, who is and will stay a defender for quite some time. Two of us had him in the 22, which was Jono at 19 and myself at 22. But because of his overall score, he misses out on the 22. Is there any regrets for any of those three?
Probably could have dropped Callum Mills a little bit lower, especially with the fact that Jared McVeigh has signed on for another year in 2019. That could affect his output.
I don't want to say regret. There was probably about five or six guys who I think could have made the list. Like, we don't even have. I mean, we don't need to go through everyone if you don't want to. But there was a few guys who I thought were really stiff. Like, I thought Kyle Langford incredibly stiff, not to be even talked about. Like, yes, Hopper was very much in the ballpark for me.
Gresham,
Will Brody was exceptionally close as well. So
Jackie Bowes.
There was I had him in.
Yep.
He's not in.
No, he didn't make the final.
Oh, he didn't make the final cut. Well, Jesus Christ.
You were the only one that actually even listed him. So there you go. But I thought he was part of the discussion too. But it means there's some high quality players here. I mean, he would have made a top 30, but it's not making the top 22.
See, there's guys who are in the list who I would have way behind all these guys we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's fine. Personal and difference of opinion. I will say that one thing that probably I didn't really look into, and it's a hindsight call, there's a few defenders that I think are a little bit lower than what they should be just for the amount of high-quality scoring defenders there actually are. And for the ones that actually remain defenders for a long period of time. So in Elliot Yeo, we sit there and say, well, he was our number one defender this year in all scoring systems. The reality is he's a midfielder next year, so he's not a defender, so we need to replace. And there's always going to be those types. So maybe defenders at the moment I think are the hardest to find, especially a long-term defender that's going to be a good scorer for you. So let's roll through the 22. And at number 22 is a man who I reckon would have been much higher before the preseason. Personally, I don't think he's done anything wrong. Two of us had him in our 22, being myself and Jono. And that's Andrew McGrath, the former number one pick. Born in 98, so he's got another 2 years in this system. Obviously a defender, averaged 72 this year, which is about on par of his career average. Yes, he hasn't shown a massive ceiling with only 2 tons, and I think that's what holds him back at the moment. But the more slight midfield rotations that he's going to get, I think the higher scoring. And with Brendan Goddard gone, I think he's now going to be the ball carrier out of that defence. Obviously, they'll be looking for Saad to run with it, but the user will be McGrath.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Aaron Francis playing pretty well in the last half dozen games of the year? Does he get that Goddard role? Because they do have Connor McKenna as well. He's pretty fleet of foot as well. Maybe they push him up a wing. It's going to be interesting dynamic with that Essendon defence over the preseason and how they set up for me. But I still like Andy McGrath for that job.
Oh, absolutely. My concern is when does he go in the midfield, because I think he is a long-term midfielder. But I think he's a ball magnet, and he's shown it in a couple of games where he can really rack them up. We just haven't seen him let loose in the midfield full time yet, and he's only had 2 seasons of footy.
Exactly,
Steve.
Yeah, I found him probably the hardest player to rank because I really wanted to put him high, because I think like everyone else, you can see what's there. But Zach Merritt, Dyson Heppel, Devin Smith, Kyle Langford, Darcy Parrish. Even Tipper's getting in the midfield in front of him. Like, my problem is, what's his role? Like, he might, I know this will sound crazy, but he might actually just lose defensive status and in the next couple of years and be a wingman. Like, if you look at Stats Pro, he's not even a defender anymore. So, yes, it's all there, but there's been nothing on the board to suggest it.
I think it's just
around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and
look, yeah, he is, but is it just around the corner? I don't know.
Yeah, I I'm complete faith. I've actually got him, and he's a long-term keeper for me. He's just there. The next one who I had well behind McGrath, but you both had him well ahead of McGrath, is Darcy Parrish. Averaged around the same, 73, career average above, and when we look at their tons per game, they're round about the same mark. Obviously, Darcy's been around one more year, so he's played the 53 games. I've got him still as a forward mid or a mid forward, so I think he retains that forward status. but that's not 100% locked in. And I was a little bit concerned with games where he had a lot of midfield time and he didn't seem to be able to really rack them up.
I think with the Darcy Parrish thing, he's still young. He hasn't got a tank. We saw in a lot of games with Parrish this year, he'd be on, say, 80 or 90 at half time and then score 15 for the rest of the game. I just don't think he can run out a full game right now. So when he builds that tank, he'll get more midfield minutes. But at this stage, I think, he, as you said, he is more forward mid. And he'll still score pretty well for you as a forward. But in another year or two, he'll be really ready to explode as that pure mid, I think.
And this is why I'll have McGrath ahead of him. Harder to find really good defenders. And I think he shows more than Parrish does right now. That's just my personal point of view. Next up in number 20 is actually another defender. And I will say this man come from nowhere this year, and that's Jaden Short. It's his first and only year in this list. Average 77. He was quiet in the early part of the season, then got a role that he just played to perfection. And I think he averaged, 85 in the second half of the season. It's very good going for a defender. He's 4 tons out of his 52 games, so every 13 games he's given you a ton. But as we say, his ratio when he's got that new role is a lot hotter than that. And Steve, well, might go to you because you were the hottest on him and you actually put him in the 22 by selecting him in number 16.
Yeah, no, I really like Jaden Short. Obviously, been watching the Tigers all year. You take the kick-ins, you've got my eye. You score well, you've got my eye. Bashir Hooley's about to, a couple of years away. He's starting to have some injury problems. You got my eye. And I don't know that this Tigers, nothing lasts forever. The Tigers are incredibly impressive at the moment, but I don't know that this low possession game style lasts forever. But they certainly want the ball in Jaden Short's hands, and I like that. And something you touched on just before, I sort of played the positional thing a little bit with my list, in that I rate midfielders and defenders extremely highly, so that's why he got the nod.
Fair enough. Next cab off the rank is a man that I effectively got into inside the top 50 with my selection pinging him at 15. So number 19 is Brandon Parfitt for Geelong, born in 98. So he's got another 2 years to go in this system. Average 75 this year. 29 games, but the most impressive thing is he has shown a ceiling. Only 29 games, but he's actually already got 4 tonnes. It's every 7.3 tonnes per game, and he has gone and blasted 138 as his ceiling. So he's already got a 120-plus score, and he's the only one outside the top 14 that's actually scored that high. And that was the game, obviously, they had a couple of midfielders out and they said, who we're going to put in the midfield rotation? They gave him the shot and he just blew them away. This kid is a magnet. The way I can describe him, if he got more midfield time, we'll be rating him exactly the same as Tim Taranto. That's how much I rate this boy. Yes, Geelong have got a power pack midfield when we look at them, but also look at their ages. So it's only a matter of time, and he'll just continue to get that increased rotation. So he'll keep his forward status for a couple of more years and be a pretty high scorer and will end up being a massive magnet.
Yeah, just on that, that's from 80% time on ground this year as well, so doesn't come off.
Yeah, loves throwing in the sub-70 score. As well.
That's the right.
Pretty big or big bust sort of score at the moment.
Well, you're talking about a guy, you're just going to play him the 6 weeks a year Geelong are going to beat up on someone?
No, he's a keeper and top-end keeper material. He's a very young lad, only played 29 games, but showed he can find the pill. So he'll get more and more rotations because they need that higher-end quality. How old Selwood?
30.
Well, they're all old, but they're not just going to stop playing.
I think
Ablett might.
That's fine.
Ablett might.
I think this man's a jet. and quite happy to be talking about him at You Suck next year. And we just give the little snippets that guys
does Parfitt get in, or does Tim Kelly get in? That's the question. I've got Kelly ahead of Parfitt, even though he's already
He's fine. I had him in our home league at times this year because the matchup was great, and we talked about him a hell of a lot. That's fine.
Number 18 is our one and only ruckman. So our only high quality ruckman we've got here. But the reality is, there's another high quality ruckman sitting under 22. He just probably hasn't put the score on the board in Tim English. But this man, Sean Darcy, has put the score on the board. Although, very weird topic that Sandylands at age 43, I think he is this year, he's got another extension on his contract for another 8 years. So it will be year 9 in the extension that Sean finally gets the number one gig. But look, he's still learning the craft. And even Brody Grundy, who started scoring quite well as a young fellow, really wasn't until he was 21 that he was getting the consistency. So Sean's got a bit of time on his side. Average only 75 this year, and that's after 85 in his first year. But he has been sharing the role a little bit more than what he did first time, and he did have some time off with injury at the beginning of the year. So there's a bit of work to be done on there, but he's only played 13 games but given us 2 tons. So that's a pretty good early record at a ton per 6.5 games. I had him ranked the highest because he was only ruckman at 14. Steve, you didn't rank him, but Jono, you put him in 20. So Steve, I suppose, seeing you the outside selection in not having him at 22, your thoughts?
Well, I just look at Sam Jacobs and I go, how many times did this guy, you know, win your match? Like, yes, you keep him, but yes, I know Sean Darcy's talked about as one of the premier keepers because he's a ruckman and we know he's going to take over, but I probably don't see the Brody Grundy, Steph Martin type scores out of a ruckman like him.
No, I think he's pretty mobile. I do see those scores eventually. I mean, he's still pretty young and he's still got that puppy fat on him as well. 2 years in the system, still got that puppy fat. Once he gets lean and mobile, he'll be a pretty dominant ruckman for years to come for Freo.
In hindsight, the man at number 17 is very lucky. Christian Petrarca. It's his last year under 22. 81 was his average this year, which is still quite disappointing when you think how long he's been in the system. 58 games for only 4 tons. So only giving you a ton every 14.5. So you go back to Mr. Partiff is actually giving you twice as many tons per game. But he's sitting there in 17th, but we all put him in the 22. And maybe this is more on how good of a player he should be rather than what he's delivering for us in fantasy. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. And maybe Harms has gone ahead of him for that midfield time as well this year. I know we haven't ranked Harms, but his last 6 games were just absolute cherry ripe and outscored Petrarca. Petrarca was sitting in the forward line where Harms was getting the mid time. So there's a case you can swap them out.
Well, is Harms going to get that mid time next year?
Well, that's the question as well.
No, am I the highest on him?
No, you're lowest on him.
I'm lowest on him. I like him. I don't understand. Why are people so disappointed with him? We said at the start of the year he'd be a slow burn player. He's going to retain forward status for a long time. Melbourne are going to be a good team for a long time. The guy wins his own pill out on the flank. Like, I love him. Like, I really struggle to see the dislike. He doesn't cost you games.
Yeah, but he's probably only an F4 or F5.
At the moment. You remember you had the ACL, like, you know, like, I know he's been around a little while, but 12 months after the ACL, like, I really like him. I think he's a big dude and he's just putting the preseasons together.
So finally, moving on to number 16, we have a lesser brother who actually makes the top 20 players under 22. So that's good going. And the lesser brother, of course, is Charlie Curto, who's born 97, averaged 77 this year. But the impressive part of this is a key forward. He's played 44 games, 5 tonnes. That's 8.8 games per tonne. That's very impressive for a key position player. Imagine if they get a really good midfield of what's actually going to happen for this lad. It's always a risk, but let's face it, as soon as you're talking draft, then key position players are actually important because, yes, they can be up and down like yo-yos, but they actually win you rounds and win you games. So what do you think of Charlie Curto? I think, Jono, you ranked him the same as me at 16.
Yeah, exactly what you said. I've got him there based on the fact that if Carlton get their act together and get a good midfield and good supply to him, he can just tear games apart. We've seen him do it already in such limited game time already. He does push up in the midfield and the wing, gets his own ball, kicks goals, contested marks, does a lot. Really looking forward to seeing what he can do when Carlton actually become good again.
If.
Yeah.
Is that going to be part of the You Suck show when I said Carlton are on their way?
I was
pretty up on them at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you were. Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, well, I've just made sure it's going to be.
I like Charlie Curto.
Content creator.
He seems more Nick Riewoldt than key forward. Like, just crazy athletic, and you got to think they're going to drop Big H in the stay-at-home forward more so. So I think with Sam Doherty, and that improves their ball movement, they'll get some talent coming through the midfield eventually, you'd hope. So, I think the things are on the up for Charlie. I like his game, but I had him 21. Just the forward status is the thing that holds him down.
Absolutely. In 15th position is a young midfielder that really stood up in the second half of the year for Brisbane in Jared Berry. Averaged 77 this year, played 35 games, given us 4 tonnes. And Steve, you're very high on him, placing him in 14th position.
Yeah, I think if Lachie Neale does go to Brisbane, that'd severely affect that ranking. Just the very clear path to pure midfield time. Obviously a first round talent, and developing quite nicely, you would suspect. And it's not like Dane Beams and Dane Zorko are spring chickens either, quite frankly.
Absolutely. Now, the next one brought in quite a bit of discussion because in the original list I put up, I actually did not include him, being Luke Ryan from Fremantle. But after we did discuss him and entered all the data, then I felt that I had to include him in my 22 as well. But he sneaks all the way to 14th, only averaged 76 this year, which career average is on 76 for 31's game, which isn't anything massive. But the reality is he's played 31 games, given us 8 tonnes and 3 scores above 120 for a tonne every 3.9 games. They are impressive stats, gentlemen.
Yeah, as a Luke Ryan owner this year as well, and watching him closely.
Wait for that.
Aaron, I'm going to sneak something in. Well,
owned Luke Ryan across multiple platforms this year.
I did. But it was the last probably 2 months, his scores were affected where he copped knock after knock, had a couple of hamstring awareness situations where he wasn't at full capacity, and that really affected his scoring and didn't actually play the last 2 games of the season. So those scores could actually be better for Luke Ryan. And we're talking about it before we came on air, that interceptors, I know, Steve, you're a fan of them, and so am I, so love those intercepting marking defenders.
And my major concern with him, though, is his really big scores have been when Connor Blakely's out of the team.
But Connor Blakely never plays, so it doesn't matter.
Hey, if Lachie Neale moves, Connor Blakely back in the guts.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I think it's an interesting point, but if you look at Fremantle's team, I don't see a team on the up. So I would expect the ball to be flinging its way down towards...
And no Kebab Johnson.
Mr. Luke Ryan.
We have talked about this before, that defenders usually score quite well when their midfield is good, not when their midfield is poor. Because their entries come from a more pressured midfield.
I know why Luke Ryan's this high for Man Jono, because there's a pretty severe Supercoach bias.
Ah, right, of course. That thing.
He'd be number one if this was a Supercoach pod.
Right. Okay, moving on to number 13. One of my boys, big rap on Hugh McCluggage. Averaged 75 this year and come out with a few big games. His tons per game is actually reasonably low at this stage. Only 3 from his 38 games, but does include a massive score that was over the 120 mark. We all ranked him in similar positions, 13, 12 and 14, but I think it's really the second half of this year he's shown he can find the pill with quite a few nice scores in the tail end of the season, gents.
Yeah, I really like Hugh McCluggage, probably the highest on him. Yeah, I think Brisbane are building a very, very nice team. He's the player who can win it inside and out. I've given a bump to the guys who can win their own pill, but he's certainly someone who can do both. He's certainly shown big numbers in and yeah, that's what you like. He's obviously a massive junior scorer as well, so nice pedigree.
Absolutely. Mm. Moving on to number 12. This is a man, the stats we just couldn't ignore. Averaged 87 this year. He's in the top age belt. He's a forward eligible at the moment. I think he'll keep that, seeing most of his time was played on the half forward flank. And that's Ed Langdon for Fremantle. He's actually scored out of his 45 games, 12 tons and 4 scores above 120, which is quite incredible. So he's given you a ton for every 3.8 games. That is in the top part of this little section. So that's quite remarkable, Ed Langdon. It's just not a sexy name, is it?
I was going to say, he's flown under the radar, and it's only when when a player gets 2 or 3 really big scores in a row that your ears prick up to him. And that was the same with me. He just flew under the radar for me, completely missed out on him in everything, really. And, on the radar now, hoping to pick him up.
The nice thing about Ed Langdon is, just play him at home and stick him on the bench when he's away.
Yeah, and it's quite incredible. So he's actually behind Jordan Ngoi, who comes in at number 11, even though Ed Langdon averaged 5 points more than Jordan Ngoi, and Ed Langdon scored 4 120 pluses, and Jordan Ngoi, 0. Born in the same year, position wise, exactly the same. So, isn't it incredible? One's just got the name and has got a bit of razzmatazz about it. The other one just racks up the scores while he's, I was going to say, playing at Subiaco, but they don't play there anymore.
Well, if you don't win your own ball, then I'm kind of worried,
Yep, that's a very, very valid point. Jordan Ngoi then has played 66 games, career average of 74, got us the 82 average this year, and has scored 12 tons. And do you reckon my game starter is incorrect? I can double check.
No, just Jono had him at 6.
No, Jono had him at 9. We all had within 2 positions of each other. But he has scored 12 tons for a ratio of a ton every 5.5 games.
And with Pendlebury coming towards the end of the career, that will be his spot coming up and playing the Dusty Martin a la role mid-forward. You don't reckon, Steve?
No, you've all left out the player who's going to do that.
Sorry?
You've both left out the player who's going to do that, who I had in at number 22. Braden Sire.
Back to
yes,
the resi
move
here,
on.
Matey.
Okay, so we'll move on to the top 10. And this wonderful young man has been touted by so many, but just can't get a regular game. Now, born in 1997, An average of 89 this year for a career average of 88 after 24 games, which includes in 24 games 10 tons and one score over 120, which I think was a 160 in his second ever game. Yes, it's BF from the Gold Coast with a massive, massive ton every 2.4 games. Jono, you had this man at number six.
With Barlow going, Hall to be traded, he's going to be the number one star.
Barlow going.
He's the number one. We've seen his scoring pedigree. Wits, they will eventually get there. He will be leading that midfield for a long time. Gets on the park. He's just a big scorer. Steve converted me when he's been banging on about him just about all year. So he has converted me. That is why I have ranked him so high this year.
Yeah, I think I'm all over him in every single format. I can absolutely get him in next year, to be quite honest with you. But it's the boom or bust. I just want to see him actually get consistent footy because he doesn't seem to be in their starting team, Steve.
Oh, I think he is. I think it's just injury this year. I'm sort of charting out Gold Coast at the moment, and he is in the middle all the time. Not all the time. So it's about between 50 and 60%. He's not like Will Brody, who's over 75 every game, but yes.
So moving on to number nine, this man's a young god. The biggest problem with this young man is purely and simply how much talent they've got in the GWS midfield, because it's actually getting the midfield time. But I think he's got less chance of getting quality midfield time than Partif has at Geelong in the short term. But I think he's that good. It's so hard, you can't deny. Only second year averaging 91, which is quite incredible. Tim Taranto, 32 games, 7 tons, 1 score over 120. That's a ton every 4.6 games. That is remarkable. Considering the lack of pure midfield time he can get. So he can still score well-wise in the forward rotations. So only second year, there's only two people I can purely think of that probably weren't getting, were probably getting a little bit more midfield time that done better in their second year, and that's McRae and Oliver.
Yeah, and O'Meara. But what a machine. I actually think I think he gets the midfield time. Like, I see him push Kelly out, and if Shield goes, like, I've got him at seven. I think he's, if they're going to be a good, they should be better next year. Like, they're a gun team. I can't fault Jono for putting Fiorini above him, but if you had him, he'd be the first bloke I'd put the little kept icon on. Like, what a jet.
Yep, I totally agree. Number eight, Alex.
Center clearances, like, he's fourth on the team. Like, Josh Kelly out, you know what I mean? Like, he's right up there. It's Ward, Coniglio, Shield. If Shield goes, then...
And Coniglio's body's not the greatest.
And it's funny, Coniglio spends a fair bit of time up forward, which is quite unusual, but I don't know whether that's covering for Green at the moment, but we'll have to wait and see what happens in future times. So I rate the boy very, very highly. Next up, averaging 91 as well, but as a defender is Alex Witherden from Brisbane. Quite impressive as well, his data, 29 games. The only problem is he hasn't played a full year of footy yet. He's just given us those little spurts. 6 tons, but 4 scores over 120. And he gives us a ton, and for a defender, this is fantastic, every 4.8 games. And that 91 average also includes that nice hamstring-affected game of 15 at the end of the year, which would have upset a few of his owners. But look, he can really rack them up. You, Steve, are very hot on him.
Premium defender. They don't grow on trees. And, you know, Hodge moves out of that defence. Boom. World's his oyster.
Yep. Totally agree. Next, don't know why you rated him so highly, Jono, although you ranked us lowest out of all of us at number 11. Seeing you stated he doesn't play, and that's Connor Blakely for Fremantle.
And that's the only reason why I've ranked him lower than everyone is because he doesn't get on the park.
But these are the data, and this is why you need to have him. Average 91 this year. Career average after 46 games is 85. He has defender status. Out of the 46 games he's played, he's given us 13 tons and 4 scores over 120. That is a ton every 3.5 games. That's incredible for someone that's got defender status.
Yeah, look, I'm not doubting the capabilities of scoring it. It's just the games played with me, and I'm not someone who likes drafting blokes who only play 12 or 13 games a season. If he can get his body right, and if we, as we said before, Neil moves to Brisbane, he gets that mid-time at least for a year. He's a defender. He could go 105 at least for you, but until he gets his body right, my interest is low on him.
Number six. Now, we'll ignore Jono for this one and a future teammate coming up because of his Western Bulldogs bias. Top age in this, Toby McLean, with his forward status, which even though he played a fair bit of midfield throughout this year, his second half of the year after that little shoulder complaint was sharing his time forward and through the midfield. So he'll retain his forward status for 2019. Lovely average of 95, but as we all know, he was averaging over the ton before that injury. Career average after 56 games of 84. He's given us 16 tons and 3 scores over 120. So the same ratio as Blakely, even though Jono raked Blakely quite low for the same ratio. We've got Toby McLean at number 6, Steve.
Yeah, what can you say? He absolutely broke out this year for a full season. Obviously, he showed the signs last season, but, you know, what an impressive player. Hard to fault.
Yeah.
I don't know that he'll keep the forward status, but certainly impressive and worth keeping nonetheless.
No, Jono.
It'd be out of him and Dunkley.
No, Jono.
Who keep the forward status.
No, Jono. Move on. Tom Phillips ranks in at number 5, born in 97. Average of 96 this year. Did tail off at the end of the year, but has played 44 career games at an average of 88. Firstly, that's damn impressive. But then when you hear this, out of 44 games, he has given us 16 tons and 5 scores above 120. So he's tonning up every 2.8 games in his first 2 full seasons of footy. That is remarkable.
He's fantastic. And it's really funny because we've got him at 5, yet we've all got him at 6 or lower on our list just because of the way the numbers work. But I've got him in front of... I'll speak for myself. I've got him in front of the Bulldogs boys who are in the same boat. We know what he can do. He's a scoring machine. He'll never get tagged, and he ain't ever going to get moved off that wing.
Nope, correct.
And got the tank to run out a whole game.
Absolutely. Ball magnet, and he's going to be one of those that always seems to drop through to the third and fourth round as well. Next up, number 4, you all know it's Josh Dunkley. I do not believe he's going to retain forward status. McLean will get it. Dunkley won't, because Dunkley was played as a pure midfielder for the second half of the season. They will wait the trends and the time of year that things happen. 38 games, he's had effectively 2 good average years and a poor average year in between in his second year. And it's more been about roles and opportunities and the number of games. 38 games for 14 tons and 2 above 120 for a ton every 2.7 games. How Sydney Swans went, no, we don't want another young midfielder. We'd rather keep all the old blokes, is beyond me. But Josh Dunkley sitting at number 4. No, Jono.
Yeah. No? Okay, I'll let Steve take it.
Well, we've liked him ever since that first practice game, if I recall. He was super impressive. Like, we were on the pod talking about him in the JLT. I've got him lowest at number 9, and I'll speak to the Bulldogs players because I had Toby McLean at 8. So, look, they're still exceptionally high. But the reason I've got them below some guys like Tom Phillips and Tim Tirano is I've been around long enough to see what the sort of shenanigans that Luke Beveridge can pull. And think about it like this. You've got Libba coming back into this team. We don't know what's happening with Mitch Wallace. We know they're losing Luke Dalhouse. Someone's getting some less midfield time. And I fear it's one of these two boys. Whether that happens or not, that's how it is. But that's my concern. But I've seen it before.
And I'll tell you where I lost AFL Fantasy this year is... I decided that I'm trading out one of the forwards from Port Adelaide that I could see that were going to be going on the decline. So I had the choice, bring back in Heaney after he'd come back from his concussion. First game back, he scored a ton. Or bring in Dunkley that had just started a hot run. And I saw Bontempelli was coming back in the team. And I thought, Dunkley just wouldn't get any midfield time. That was my immediate reaction. He'll be the first one gone. Totally wrong and messed up my year. I think Heaney scored 260s in the next three games. So that was wonderful while Dunkley kept on going with his 110s, 120s. So, Jono, I will ask you the question, who has less midfield time next year?
Less midfield time? Lockie Hunter. He got the bump this year. You look at last year when they were all in. He was one who was pushed out.
Not going to stick him forward.
They stuck him defender. They couldn't find a spot for him. It was like Libba last year. They couldn't find a spot for him.
And I think they can find spots for Dunkley and McLean forward where they can't find spots for Hunter. So I don't think Hunter gets moved out.
It's
just say you don't know. Like that should be the truth.
Well, I was going to say it's the Luke Beveridge way of coaching. Who knows what's he going to pull?
Who did they stick forward this year? The defender?
Norton. Ed Richards.
No. There was like one of the old boys.
There's the captain.
Easton Wood.
The captain.
Easton Wood.
What?
Right. So
this is my move.
So in other words, Steve and I
don't know.
being mindful of that and keeping those Western Bulldogs lower rather than Jono pumping his own boys up is probably the smart way. Let's move to the big three because they were the big three. All of us picked these players 1, 2, and 3, and it was quite simple. To be fair, one had such an extraordinary year that you could argue deserved to be in two, but the reality is he's going to be a mid-only where the other one's going to have DPP. So at number 3 is Angus Brayshaw, an average of 104. He'd be midfielder only next year. Career average of 78 after his 54 games. He has given us 14 tonnes and no less than 120 plus scores. So that is a ton every 3.9 games that he is played, ranked 3 across the board. Incredible season, gentlemen, and we need to say probably incredible second half of the year.
Yep, the magic helmet works.
Yeah, I actually wonder if we've got these guys mixed up. Like, you know, when he goes big, he goes big. He kicks the ball. Love that.
Wins his own ball.
They both win their own ball, and I love that. It's just probably the trepidation of Viney cutting into rotations a little bit, and it seems like Brayshaw may be a little bit more versatile.
Jones is spending a bit of time forward as well, so...
Jones is out, man.
Mm. Jones is out. Oh,
Jones doesn't matter.
Viney needs to come back in. Jones is already out. You're right. Yep, absolutely right.
But he can play that wing anyway, so yeah.
So number 2 is the poster boy himself, Mr. Isaac Heaney. Both born in the same year. His average this year was 90, and that include the concussion injury affected. He's played 69 games. He will keep his forward status. He's spent more than half of his time up forward this year, so he will not lose that. He may down the track, but he certainly won't for next year. Career average of 81.8, so that is ahead of Angus. He's played 69 games, which is more games than Angus, because obviously we know Angus has had the concussion issues. He scored 21 tons and three scores above 120, which gives him a ton every 3.3 games. This man's a jet, Jono.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Excuse me. Can't fault him. As we saw, the Swans did get a lot of forwards injured this year. We saw Sam Reid go down with an injury, and Buddy only trained for 35 seconds for the whole year. So that forced Heaney to play that forward essentially the key forward for the Swans, and didn't get that midfield time. But with everyone fit and firing next year, he'll be back into that midfield. No dramas whatsoever.
Absolutely. And there's an obvious choice for number one. And we all had him in that position, and that's Clayton Oliver. Born in 1997, so he's got another year on this table. Average of 109 this year, which is quite incredible. I don't know whether to call it a breakout year, but it was probably just another step up, because he did average a ton last year, but he almost got it to the 110 mark. 56 games for a career average of 103. There's not many players that, including their slow build-up, end up with a career average over 100. He's already doing that by year three. 23 tons, but amazing 11 scores above 120, which is double anyone else. And he's giving you a ton every 2.4 games early in his career. That is just remarkable. And a clear number one in the under-22 players in the competition, Jono.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think he's doing exactly what he's done, what Jackson McRae did when he first started. He was one of the only few players to ever average 100 straight off the bat in his whole career. So this guy's an absolutely special talent. Just a few more kicks going his way would be handy with his score. But absolute super talent, Clayton Oliver, and really love the way he goes about his footy.
And your thoughts on Clayton Oliver? Is a pretty obvious number one, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I'd fail to see how he could go any other way. Especially when you got Max Gawn just palming him the ball down for the next 6-7 years. Like, goodness me.
And Braden Bruce being your reserve ruckman, yeah, ready to go to fire him and giving great support on the way through.
Gosh. Strange, isn't it?
It is very strange. But we do have some questions from the fans out there on social media. Kicking it off with at Brody Johnson 94, he asked, do people give too much credit to the high draft picks in keepers? Players such as Mills, Parrish, and Christian Petracca, do they deserve the massive price tags that are afforded to them for keeper leagues?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because our rankings had Callum Mills outside the top 22, and I've still got that feeling and hankering that he should be in. Parrish only just scraped in, and we talked about Petrarca. And look, he's an F4 at the moment. Yes, when you've got someone of such great potential for a keeper, they're the value. They do need to give you some results as well. So it's getting that mix right. But I think where we had them ranked is probably where you should spend your dough, your draft pick, and your time on.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree on that one. Shannon Allen on Twitter asks, Zach Fisher, will he get big enough in the preseason to hold? And also, what are our thoughts on the Warpedo, Trent Dumont, and Ryan Clark?
Geez, Ryan Clark has had two really good end of seasons, but hasn't put one together yet. Looks like he has the potential, but it's all about role. Dumont has been a slow burn who has given us one blinding game on round 23. Who else? Warpedo looks good.
Warpedo.
Yeah, Warpedo looks good, but it's only year one. But there were big raps, and he looked like he could deliver. Take a bit of time before he gets consistent. And there was one more.
Zach Fisher.
Yeah, impressive start to the year. Will he get big enough straight away? Maybe not. I think he's got a bit of class, but it might be 2 years away before he becomes consistent.
Yep. And Mitchell Bagley 3 asks, if Polek leaves the Port Power, who is the midfielder who gets the bump? And he also has Sam Powell Pepper, and he hopes he can take another step forward next year.
Well, Polak's an outside midfielder, so they need an outside runner that's going to take his spot. And I actually think that helps the halfbackers. So there's someone that's going to have defender status that if Polek goes, is going to get a fair bit of time on the wing. So whether that be a Bonner or a Houston, yep, one of those I think will get the opportunity to go on the wing more than the midfielders get extra time. Powell Pepper I see as an inside burst player.
So just wait for Rocky to bugger off and he'll get a bit more of a bump.
Yes.
Playing 74% game time too, Powell Pepper, as well. So more than Ollie Wines.
Yep, and that's sort of the issue, which makes you in reflection think, why did they go Rockcliffe when they already had good inside midfielders?
Interesting one. At South Australia, and Brad Johnson asked, what the hell is going on with Ben Keys at the Brisbane Lions?
Yeah, it's a good question. We haven't seen or heard too much of him. We'll have to take that one on notice and find out through our own whisperers of what the deal is. I think they still rate him highly, but I don't know if he's had an injury-affected season, but I think he'll come on. It is just a matter of time. Sometimes you have to be patient.
Do you think he's just got a hotter name in fantasy circles than the talent maybe dictates? Like,
yep. Only played two games this year, so, and wasn't injured.
They've got some pretty serious talent coming through their midfield, the Lions.
Mm. And at South Australia also asked, has James Aish topped out points-wise? I don't think he's even got to the bottom floor yet.
Jeez, Johnny, coming in with the whack.
I think he'll only be mid-status, though. He actually played most of his time on the wing, so it was a bonus that he was a defender this year and he could average you in the 80s for that sort of hot period he had.
I don't know that he'll ever be a lock for best 22.
No, I agree.
No.
Well, if they keep trading in people like Daniel Wells, he'll easily make the top 22.
I'm being serious, like.
No, I agree with you. I agree.
You.
And I wasn't being serious.
I know. Look, you guys. I know you guys aren't on side, but I just, man, I really. The body of work's not there, but I'm pretty keen. Pretty keen. Put it that way.
And a couple of questions from Facebook. We had James Daniel ask, "How low can the Gresh go next year? He's got third at best." I'm not sure if that's
so
which
third round.
That's what I'm guessing third round. I'd be pretty ballsy to take Gresham in the third round next year, that's for sure.
No, well, I think that's after the keepers have been kept.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and we did have him in this this model to start with, but his data didn't ring true. He had a good little hot patch. He was a nice little sampler, but you've got to be careful of the samplers.
Mm. And the last question is from the Statesman best mate, Al Borland, who is We Got Big Cox. And he asks, the Rucks never seem to make this list, and can we do a quick five Ruckman under 25? And I've just got six Ruckman here who are under 25. You got Brody Grundy. He's probably already...
Yeah, seriously, pick up Brody Grundy, go to your waiver wire.
He might be there. He just might be.
Could work out for you.
You got Nank at 24. As we said, Sean Darcy, Tim English, Braden Pruce is still pretty young. And one that impressed me was Ryan Abbott for Geelong. Once Stanley was out of that team,
yeah, he's
he came
28,
in.
Mate, but yeah, close to under 25.
Abbott, he's 22, wasn't he?
I've actually got a couple guys.
I read that wrong, dude.
25. So Big O from Brisbane, Steph Martin, bit long in the tooth. We saw Big O get quite a bit of run in the second half. And really, really low key, under the radar, if you're in a deep, deep league, Sam Draper from Essendon. Belcher is not going to go forever. This man is a huge man. Had 60-odd hit-outs in the VFL a couple of weeks ago. Very under the radar, I'll put it that way.
And that
might take a couple of years, though.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up the 22 under 22 for this week. Next week, we have the You Suck Show. So
I'm unavailable, I think.
We'll be taking the P1 double five out of ourselves next week with some of the hot takes we made, like Grant Birchall as a defender 3.
Boom!
Not taking
Joe Danaher.
Joe Danaher. Was it Devin Smith? What was the one that stayed?
Darcy, we'll save some of these. Devin. We'll save some of these.
But yeah, just some of the calls that you'll be hearing next week of our hot takes that we made throughout the year. If you want to follow us on social media, as we are going throughout the whole off season, if you're listening, pleasure, we are on Twitter. Just search at the Draft Doctors, at Statesman33 there. Search the Draft Doctors on Facebook as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.